God, I thank you that your word is so piercing to the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit, that it discerns our thought and intents. God, I thank you so much that in the power of your word, there is life. God, right now I ask you, please, take a coal from the fire of the altar and cleanse our lips, cleanse my heart, cleanse my thoughts, God. Remove from me filthiness, ungodliness, presumptuousness, God, and may I only speak the things that my Father tells me, as the word says you did, God. Be with us as we look to your scriptures now for direction, for protection, for provisions, God. There's none like you, God. There is none like you. Where else can we go? For you have the words of life. We ask these things humbly before your throne, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 1, chapter 3, the book of Matthew says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Please give me your attention. Let me set this up for you a little bit. Remember, we looked at Matthew. Matthew was Levi, the tax collector, writing to a Jewish audience. He was using this book that he wrote, one of the first gospel in the New Testament, to Jewish people to show them that Christ was who he says, the Messiah. So he's constantly referencing Old Testament more so than any other prophet, any other writer. He talks about this man, John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a very interesting character. He was with a sect called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. Essenes were those who lived apart. They did not believe that a true Jew should live in society with the world, with what they called the goyim. John the Baptist was clothed, verse 4, in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist dressed a lot like Elijah, according to Scripture. And it says that he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, some would say that John the Baptist was also had taken what's called the Nazarite vow. Now, if you guys have been around our church, know that my son was offered to God while yet in my wife's belly as a Nazarite. According to Scripture, in the Old Testament, in I want to say Deuteronomy, but I could be wrong. It might be Leviticus. I don't remember exactly. There is a Nazarite vow, where you offer your child, you offer yourself to God, that you will not bring a scissor to his hair, you will not let him drink wine, you will not drink wine yourself, and you will be around nothing dead. Now, another picture of a Nazarite in Scripture was Samson. That's why Samson's hair was so long. That's why he was so strong when his hair was long. That's why it was such a scandal for him to put his hand inside the dead lion. These vows that he made to God, they were binding. My son's vows were binding until he takes them up of his own and places them in his heart. John Baptist probably had a big old long beard. Now, just not trying to destroy everybody's Sunday school, but there was also a tree called a locust tree, and it had these big buds on it that people would eat. They were like almost like a giant acorn. It was a sweet fruit type of thing. So it could be that he didn't just eat locusts and wild honey, that he could have been eating off buds off of the locust tree. So that whole picture of him having like grasshopper legs in his beard stuck together. And I've even heard some say that it was all dreadlock like a Rasta, because it had honey in it and he just rubbed it together. No definite proof to that. John the Baptist, he made a a message. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A little information about John the Baptist. He was the three-month senior cousin of who? That's right. Elizabeth was his mother, who was the aunt or cousin, depending on how you interpret the Hebrew, of Mary. John the Baptist, one of these scenes, he comes out of the forest looking like Isaiah, starts saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now he does this crazy thing. The reason they call him John the Baptist is because what did he do? Baptized people. Now, according to John's baptism, he would completely submerge them. That's why at a Calvary Chapel, we completely submerge when we baptize. If you're Catholic, you could sprinkle. If you're Presbyterian, you could throw. You know, however you want to go about this baptism, it is more a baptism of the heart, not a baptism of the physical. However, us in trying to emulate our Savior, we want to do much the same, right? Everybody's with me. Verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, again, let me give you the picture of what's going on here, and maybe you can relate this a little bit to our present time, because that's what I always try to do. I try to make you, as I'm reading scripture, I try to make you apply it to your life. That's the job of a teacher, pastor. The time for them was short. They were stuck between the Romans and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We're about to see that these religious leaders of the time, the Sadducees, who believed that there was no resurrection, that's why they were Sadducee. Get it? That's why they were Sadducee, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's just a little trick you can use in your head to keep, that's why they were Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. No? Okay. The Sadducees were like the Essenes, but they were not a political organization, the Essenes. The Sadducees and the Pharisees believed in taking over government. The Pharisees believed that Israel would rise again to power and they would defeat the Romans. There was constant war. The Jews were living on borrowed time. There was constant threat of attack. Now, if somebody knocks on your door and tells you, I'm sorry, but the president has made a decree that you no longer are allowed to have a gun, and we are searching houses for guns, what are you going to do? Well, if you have no guns, you're going to be like, hey, you know, go right ahead. Which would be quite foolish. If you do have a gun, hopefully you'll stand and fight. But a lot of you guys are sitting there thinking to yourselves, that's not going to happen. Come on. That's ridiculous. He's not the emperor. He's the president. But this is where they were living. Just a couple of years earlier, King Herod made a decree that all babies 2 years old and under should die. So they went house to house killing all the babies that were 2 years old and under. And you guys that weren't here last week, you're like, what? Listen, please, get out of American Christianity head. It does you no good here. The time and the place that these people were living in was dangerous. People lived 40 years. A 50-year-old man was an old man back then. There was no 911. You didn't, I've got people here. What are you going to do? You protect yourself or you're dead. Do you understand? They were afraid. They didn't know what was going on. The government was going absolutely crazy. They were taking power that was not theirs to take. There was no freedom. The freedoms that you have as an American, they didn't have them. You didn't go where you wanted to go, do what you wanted to be. You didn't just go start a business. They thought the end could be near at any minute. So all of a sudden, here comes this guy, and he looks like Isaiah, he speaks like Isaiah, and he's yelling, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's one of the Essenes. What are they doing? I thought they lived in their own communes. They lived on what's called a kibbutz. They lived apart from the, what's, and he's preaching to come back. Before I die, I want to go to heaven. Well, if you want to go to heaven, you must be baptized. Repent of your evil deeds. People freaked out, especially those that had something in them. There was something about the spirit that was inside of them, the true Jew. The guys didn't know this maybe, but do you know that Christianity is a Jewish faith? That we borrowed this from the Jews? Have you not known that? You should know that now. That if there is even a touch of anti-Semitism in your heart, you better strike it from you. For your Savior is Jewish. Be careful with that stuff that goes around. And when somebody comes to you preaching a message of salvation but hates the Jews, that's the Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. My father, we used to have a saying in our house, Mate de Cristo. Killer of Christ. That's what they used to call the Jews. My father's, the whole area that he came from, the reason the Italians hated the Jews in New York, Mazze de Cristo, the killer of Christ. They didn't know any better. Like, Dad, you killed Christ. I didn't kill him. I wasn't even there. No, it's your sin that killed him, Dad. I hate when you talk like that, he used to say to me. God rest his soul. So here comes this guy preaching this message. So repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So people, because they were on edge, because they didn't know, because they did know that they could be rapping on the door to heaven at any second, there was no security. Remember, you had this little town, and on one side was the Romans, on the other side were the Persians, and they were constantly at war. Not unlike, and we used this reference last week, remember how you had Poland in, you guys that study history, World War II, Germany on one side, Russia on the other side, and there's a little tiny Poland. And what happened to them when the war started? Wiped off the map. And that's how these people lived, under constant threat. In order to get to there, you had to get through there. The Jews, they were quite disposable at the time. They had very little power to the Romans and Persians anyway. Continuing now, you understand the mindset. I just wanted you to get the mindset in there. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Now, when you called an Old Testament Jew, somebody who read Torah, a viper, you were calling him a son of Satan, because they knew that the snake, the serpent, was the devil in Chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Now, think about it. I've seen these movies and they seem to stick in my head. And here are these people waiting and they're sliding down the bank, going to the Jordan. And he gets them and he takes them by the head and plunges them into the water. And they come up, freaking out. And now, I want you to know that from the Jordan to Jerusalem was some 20 miles. So there was obviously some more than just a little curious. You ain't going to take a little 20-mile walk, you know what I mean, to find out what was going on. They were curious, and they go there, and they see him. What's this guy doing in there? You know, what's he doing in there? He's baptizing people. People come out rejoicing. Something about being baptized, the smile on your face is just, it's like something in the water tickles you or something like that. Because I don't think I've ever baptized anyone. That's cool, thanks. Telling you, just push. Crying and tears and happiness and joy and all that. And they see him baptizing people and he looks up at them. And I imagine the scene, and then people are sliding down the bank and there's dirt and And he looks up at them and sees them. And as soon as he sees them, he probably thinks they're going to go, "Oh, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Oh, my Lord," you know, something like that. And he looks at them and he goes, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy repentance. For I say to you, don't say to yourself, you have Abraham as your father. For I tell you the truth, Abraham is easy to raise up children from these stones." He says something like that. You know what I mean? He says, think about this thing. Nobody talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees like that. You know why? Because you wind up dead. These were a powerful people. Oh, but you said they were religious people. Yes. And religious people are always nice people, aren't they? Religious people don't kill anybody, for sure. And he says this, look at verse 10. "And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Look, before we read 11, let me tell you what prophecy that is. He's saying, yes, Christ came to the Jews, but even now, that tree is about to be cut down. Yes, he came to his own and his own received him not, according to Scripture. Even now. And you see this, and he's saying this, right? And there's probably some vision of some angel, this spiritual, you know, cutting down this tree somewhere. The tree's ready to fall, man. In case you didn't know, Christian, you're grafted in. To have anything against a Jew is, it's ungodly. You're grafted into his faith. He's missed, and you're not. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Woo! How do you not love that? How does not give you the Holy Spirit chills when you hear that? "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, there's other places in Scripture where it says that there is one baptism. And people of other doctrinal beliefs believe that to mean that there is no other baptism. There's only one baptism. Listen to me. That where the Apostle Paul writes there is no only one baptism is speaking of the baptism into the body of Christ. There are many baptisms in Scripture. Many, many. There's probably a half a dozen. And you can be baptized into all these different things because the word baptism means to be submerged into. Now, spiritually speaking, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, that means you are now sealed. God puts a seal. It's an invisible seal. According to the book of Revelation, it might even be on your forehead. You can't see it. Like when you get to any of you guys used to go to the clubs and you run your hand through the thing and they put the thing on you? Ask and be like in heaven. You're going to have to get under the black light. Yeah, you can go. Next. You can go. Go ahead. Nope. But the Lord Jesus is going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Now, I like the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, but what is it to be baptized with fire? Guys, put your seatbelt on a second. Let me explain to you. Do not think it's strange that you suffer these trials and temptations that are meant to test you, Scripture says, to try you. For everything that you're going through now, the Lord allowed you to go through to see what's inside of you. He set the fire up underneath you hotter and hotter and hotter because trials do not only reveal character, they build character. We have this thing in jiu-jitsu we call baptism. In jiu-jitsu, when you've been baptized, it means you've been put to sleep. Now, being put to sleep in jiu-jitsu, let me explain to you what that is. You have these things called carotid arteries. here, and here. When you cut them off, about 12 seconds afterward, you pass out because your brain loses oxygen. Now, in jiu-jitsu, we wear what's called a gi, which is like our uniform. Wrestlers call it bathrobes or pajamas, which I think is hilarious since wrestlers wear bicycle pants with suspenders. However, be that as it may, let's not make fun of them. We like them. It has these giant thick lapels that go all the way down here. And when somebody grabs one side and grabs the other side and pulls really tight, if they're really strong, it cuts off. And you hope to hold out long enough that their hands get tired before you go to sleep. Now, when you go to sleep, let me explain to you what happens for you guys that are either young in jiu-jitsu or don't have any jiu-jitsu at all. The first thing that happens is you start to see this silver dot in your eyes. The dot starts to get bigger and bigger, you're still okay. Then inside that silver dot, this little black dot starts to get like this. And if you don't tap before that dot takes up that silver dot, that black dot takes up the silver dot, you go to sleep. Now, when you wake up after you've been baptized into jiu-jitsu, you're not the same anymore. Because now you understand. The first thing is you wake up and you have no idea where you are. I've been put to sleep 3 times in the 9 years I've been doing jiu-jitsu, and you have dreams. You're at the mall. Your brain loses oxygen. It's not like passing out and going, oh my goodness, I passed out. The first thing that happens is you wake up and you're looking at the wall going, where am I? I'm at the gym. And then you see everybody sitting around, you're just waiting. Because some people wake up swinging, you know? So everybody kind of makes space. Baptism by fire, that's what that is. And when God baptizes you in fire, when you wake up, you're not the same. You're better for it. Now, no trial seems pleasant for the time. It's miserable being choked out. But you're better. You're stronger. You know what you could handle. Some people, they freak out because they bounce a check. Watch this. Show of hands, how many of you guys think that bouncing a check would be about the worst thing that could ever happen in your life? And I love it because most of them are going like this. How many of you guys have bounced lots of checks and it's no big deal? If you want real freedom, go through real trials. There's that song by Rita Springer. You tear down all my walls. You love me just because all you wanted to do was set me free. I sit up here and I bear my life to you guys. You think that's easy? It ain't. I want to be a private person. I don't want you guys to know about my life. I tell you I was in prison. I tell you me and my wife had problems. I tell you all my crap I tell you. And it's not easy, but it makes me free. I've been baptized by fire, and I'm willingly sharing that with you. I'm free. When you see me out there, I don't got to be nobody else. I could just be me. That's the greatest thing in the world. You got to be somebody else out there that you're not in here. I feel sad for you. You're not free. You're bound. You're bound like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You're bound to your religiosity. Why can't you just be who you are? Because you're afraid, because you've not been baptized in fire. The Lord Jesus is going to baptize you in fire. And chances are, a lot of you guys, you're going to blame the enemy for it. Oh, the devil's got me in such a terrible place. You sure it's not the Lord? Why would God do that? To set you free. My wife hates when I use this analogy, but I think I have to. It's so fitting. There was this band, in my day, there was this band called Jane's Addiction, and they had this song called Whores. And there was a line in the song that says, I love those whores, they don't judge. What can you say when you're a whore? How could I judge you? I'm disgusting, I'm foul, I'm filthy. I'm not coming up here perfect, and neither are you. We know who you are. You know who you are. If you would embrace that instead of running from it, you're so free. I have bounced checks before. I have written tithe checks in faith, and they've bounced. Ask Leah, she used to do the books. Julia does the books now, and she doesn't know because I haven't bounced a check since. Have I? No. Free. Money struggles. American church, guys, get out of that brain. Get out of that American church brain. If you're struggling with money, it's not because you don't have enough faith. It's because that's what God wants to teach you a lesson, I guess, somewhere in there. No, it's the enemy. He's attacking my boss, and then he's attacking me. Don't give the devil credit for your own wicked flesh. Don't do that. Don't do that. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The first mention of hell in the Bible, in the New Testament. There it is. The first mention of hell. He says, he is coming, and he has a winnowing fan. He has a sickle. And he's cutting the grass down. And he's going to sit there with the grass. And you guys know what wheat is? Wheat grows. And the way they shake the wheat, and the pieces, the little pieces that you can't eat, that's called the chaff. And it falls to one side, and the wheat that you can't eat's in the other. And here's the picture. Remember, it's an agricultural society. These people grew their own food. I wish I could think of a good, analogy for our day and age, but I can't. I should have thought about it more, I guess. So he says, here's what God's going to do. He's going to take the wheat, and he's going to stay with him. But the chaff, he's going to burn it in unquenchable fire. I think he just called the Sadducees and the Pharisees chaff. I could be wrong, but he just told them they're going to hell. Do you know how big their church is? People that go to big churches don't go to hell. Especially people that run big churches don't go to hell. Do they? Verse 13, then Jesus came from the Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. He went 20 miles to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? Now, you can read the first couple of chapters of John to find out what exactly happened, how he came out. Because, and this is the great thing, in case you are new to Scripture here, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the stories of different perspective of the life of our Lord and Savior. And when he came out, John the Baptist sees him and immediately, it's his cousin, but somehow he knows something happens. He goes, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, all this other stuff. And he bows, get up. It's a whole cool thing. But I want to just stay where we're at. I just want to run through Matthew. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him when he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So a few things I want to notice here is that the Lord Jesus himself got baptized. So if the Lord Jesus get baptized, I think maybe you can be baptized too. What you think? Second thing I want you to see is that the Father was really pleased in his Son when he got baptized. So for you also, God will be very pleased with your baptism. But more than being baptized in water, and although we've discussed the importance of it, now, if you come from the type of church, and there are some churches that believe baptism is salvation, baptism is not salvation. You do not need to be baptized to be saved, not according to Scripture anyway. Zacchaeus, his house was told they were saved. The thief on the cross was not baptized, and he was saved according to the Lord Jesus. So there is no, there's no ordination that in order to be saved, you need to be baptized. However, this I will tell you. If you're walking on the earth, calling yourself a follower of the Lord, and you've not been baptized, I might question your obedience and other things as well, because it's obvious not only did the Lord Jesus say to be baptized, he was baptized himself. So, and I don't think I've ever really met anybody in ministry who's serious about the things of the Lord who says, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a servant, I'm a missionary, and they say, well, I've never been baptized. It sounds weird. If I was going to, just for a second, spiritualize this text, guys, here's the way I spent my morning. When I was going through my prayers, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I paused at thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I thought about what we were going to be learning today. And I said, God, what part of my life have I not baptized yet? We do this, new believers, especially seasoned saints. You've been walking with the Lord more than 10 years, more than 20 years. You do this, man. You start to settle in into this complacency, this horrible place of thinking not everything needs to be baptized. And when I tell you, what you don't baptize yourself, God's going to baptize with fire. And I want you to think about the areas in your life. You're baptized because you're in church here, and you're baptized into the body, and all that's all well and good, right? But have you baptized your home life yet with your wife? Have you baptized your parenting with your children? Have you baptized your work yet? Have you baptized your business? Have you baptized your jiu-jitsu or your lifeguard or your swimming or your dodgeball? What area of your life is not baptized yet? Because God did not call you into those things so you could be successful in them apart from him. He called you into those things so you could be a witness to him in them, whether you're successful or not. Do you feel what I just said there? There is no area. And I sat and I thought about my areas in life. I said, God, what's not baptized yet? What have I not submerged completely? What have I, ready? When I first started going to the gym, I was the Christian guy. I got a little good at jiu-jitsu, helped a couple of people out. A couple of years go by, I get a purple belt, I get a brown belt. Now all of a sudden I got a black belt. Now I'm a jiu-jitsu coach. Now I help fighters. And what happened to the Christian guy? What, did you forget about why I called you to that gym? It certainly wasn't to teach jiu-jitsu, son. Oh, you got this now? Is that it? You used me for an inroad into the gym, and now that you're in, you don't need me no more, huh? It was a good conversation starter, a good way to walk up to fighters and say, hey, how you doing? My name's Ryan. I'm a pastor here. Can I pray for you before you fight? But now that you're buddy-buddy with them, you don't need me no more? Careful. Careful. You start your business. And you dedicate it to the Lord, man. You want God to bless your business, man. And all of a sudden, man, a couple of months go by, maybe a year, and God helps you turn a profit. And then you're like, I got it now, thanks. And now you're a business person. For this, and I'm gonna look up because I don't want to. Ladies, you beg God for a man. You beg him. And here's what you're going to do. You promise God if he brings you a man, he's going to be this, 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 this. And a guy comes along, and he's not half of those things, and you're like, but he's a man. What? Baptize your desire for a man in the power of God. If he does not have a heart after God, he will not have a heart after you. But you and your wife turned out okay. Oh, you do not want to go there. Oh, no, 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 no. Can I get an amen, Joy? Such enthusiasm. And Jesus went immediately up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Close your Bible. It might rain. We might have some lightning and thunder. It says there's a 30 to 40% chance. Yes. Huh? You gotta get here before the service. But can we do it next week? Just bring them a little bit earlier. So we can, because usually we do it right between the worship. We can do it afterward if you want, but I would like to have everybody participate. You want to do that? Okay. So if we are going to do this baptism, if you are wondering the questions that stand before you about baptism, you were baptized as a kid. And you were baptized as a baby because you grew up Catholic. You were baptized at your other church. Whatever questions you may have, that's between you and the Lord. Here's what I'm asking you. Forget about anything that you've done before and ask if God is knocking on your heart and saying, come on, let's do this again. There is no rule that says you can't be baptized again. Especially if you've not been walking with the Lord, which what happens is, if you're not walking with the Lord and you sense this pull to go do this thing, if you've recently been married, if you've recently started a ministry, if you notice something, the Lord, here's one thing, it's huge, and this is for me. You notice that when the Lord Jesus walked and asked him to baptize him, he didn't go, let's do it where nobody is because I don't want anybody to see because, you know, I've been going to church a long time and I don't want people to think like I'm a newbie. I'm not a newbie. You know, I'm not a newbie. Okay, just want everybody to know. Just want everybody to know I'm not a newbie, okay? I'm not a newbie. I'm being baptized, but it's just something new. I'm not new, though. He didn't care. He just said, let's go. Let's do this thing. I should be, just do it. Come on. Ah! He says he opened his eyes and he saw the Spirit descend on him like, oh my God, that's got to be cool. I wish I had an experience like that. So if you are thinking about being baptized, we're going to be there. If you want to be baptized with your wife, we will baptize you guys together. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, we've done that. We're husband and wife join arms. Matt's on one side, I'm on the other. We lift you up, man. It's a great new start. It's a great... Did I make it clear yet? Have I not beat that horse down yet enough? Okay. Anybody have any questions about baptism before we end in prayer? Splash. I was going to tell you about the story of the last baptism we did. Jellyfish. Uh-oh. But I'm not going to. Let's pray together. And Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is power, and your word is life, and your word is love, and your word is truth, and your word is strength. Lord Jesus, we ask you, please show us mercy and truth. Show us that you are beckoning us. God, I ask you, please, to teach us your ways that we might walk in your truth. And God, if there is any heart here that was spoken to today, of any of the things that we spoke of, God, give them the strength to carry it out through, to see it all the way through, not to be afraid. We who are desperate, we who believe that you're everything that we need, we who believe that you are, God, we who believe that without you our lives are nothing, we call upon you. We who believe that there is no life beyond you, not to live as Christ and to die as gain. We who believe that to walk with you not is death, we call upon you. And may your word continually change our hearts. May no time nor complacency, may no relationship or financial situation take us from you. May no circumstances or situation ever take our freedom again. For your word promises, your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Bless us, God, and bless the hearts that need to be baptized, if there is any, God. May they be set in stone. May they set their faces flint to do this, even if they have to walk 20 miles like you did. Be with us as we do this. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.